So we've been going through Luke's gospel the last number of months. Actually, ways back we started looking at Christ in the Old Testament, right? And we saw the fingerprints of Christ, the presence of Christ all throughout the shadows of the Old Testament, which then pointed us to Advent, where we saw the scriptures point us to the one who is going to come. And then we began a series through Luke called Jesus Among Us, where we celebrate the one who has arrived. And the Gospels are very strategic and wonderful to unpack together. They each look at the life of Christ through a different lens, not a contradicting lens, but a different lens. And so we get a greater picture of who Christ is. And so we've been going through Luke's gospel and just have really gleaned from Luke's presentation of Christ in a way that nobody has ever seen him before. And you'll notice a couple weeks ago, we jumped ahead for Palm Sunday and for Easter. And then last week, Pastor Mike just preached a great message out of Mark's gospel that just challenged our hearts. And so it was, how many were blessed by that last week? It was, encourage you to tune in and get that online if you haven't seen it. So today we're going to pick back up where we left off a few weeks ago, back into Luke chapter 5. One of the things that we see in Luke's gospel is that Luke doesn't just tell a story, but he layers it. There's always more going on below the surface. I love that. And it's like it's looking beyond the obvious that helps us discover not only what Jesus does, but who Jesus is. And so we're not looking into the text. That's called eisegesis. We don't want to look into the text and draw wrong conclusions. But we want to look deeper than the surface and not just look at what Jesus did, but what that reveals about the character and the heart of Jesus. And Luke does a beautiful job of doing that for us. And so we'll see who Jesus really is as revealed by what he does. We've been focusing on the authority of Jesus, and we've seen how scene after scene after scene, we see how the authority of Jesus is greater than how his authority is over demons and over sickness and over creation. And so we see the power and the character and the authority of Jesus up until this point. This morning, as we continue, we're going to see Jesus' authority, his command, his character affect another area that we had not yet seen up until this point. And it's not just authority that afflicts a person, right, like demons did or like sickness does. But we'll see how Jesus' authority is over that which separates a person as well, that creates distance in a person's life. And as we come into this text this morning, we're going to see that Luke is going to record an actual event that took place that gets really personal in not only that person's life, but I think if we got real honest, we could probably relate with as well. This man in our text today doesn't only have a problem, but this man is a problem in his community and in his family, and in his Christian, and in his religious context. And so we're going to unpack that together. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 12. Feel free to look above me, and you'll see the text there. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. Luke writes, "While he was in one of the cities," speaking of Jesus, "there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.' And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he, Jesus, would withdraw to desolate places to go and pray." And so we have this incredible scene that's kind of unfolding before us. We see that there is a leper, and he sees Jesus, and he goes and he presents himself to Jesus. The first point I want to bring to you this morning is the condition of the man that we see in this text. Notice verse 12, it says that this man was full of leprosy. For those who don't know, Luke was a physician, and he's very intentional and very specific in presenting the physical diagnosis of this man who presents himself before Jesus. And Luke says that this person is full of leprosy. In other words, he's not in the early stages of leprosy. It's not like one of those, like, does he have it? Doesn't he have it? What's going on there, right? This is not leprosy that is manageable or hidden. This is leprosy that is well advanced. This is leprosy that is visible for everybody to see. This is undeniably leprosy. It says he was full of leprosy. Now, to understand the significance of that, we need to consider what it was like to have leprosy in the first century. Because leprosy in the first century was not just a disease. It meant living in exile. Leprosy would begin quietly as a small patch that would appear on the skin. It would be discolored. Eventually, it would grow numb. At first, it was easy to ignore, but over time, it would begin to spread throughout the body. It would begin deadening the nerves and disfiguring features and characteristics on the body, and slowly it would begin to unravel the body from the outside in, ultimately leading to death. Wounds wouldn't heal because they couldn't be felt. You can imagine the infections and the swelling and the pus and the discoloration that was present. Fingers and toes at times would get infected and fall off without them even realizing it. Faces would become distorted and unrecognizable as this disease would set into the characteristics of one's face. And so it was a very debilitating, a very grotesque kind of a disease. But the physical suffering was only part of it. Leprosy carried a sentence far worse than pain. It carried a sentence of separation. The moment someone was diagnosed and declared with leprosy, they were declared unclean. And as a result of that, everything in their life changed. As a result of that, they were forced to remove themselves from their homes. They were cut off from their families. This diagnosis kept them from being able to go into the temple and worshiping. They were excluded from their communities. According to the law, they had to wear torn clothes so they were easily identifiable. They were to leave their hair very raggedy and unkempt. They would cover their mouths. And anytime somebody would approach from a distance, they were required to cry out in a loud voice, "Unclean! Unclean!" Could you imagine what it must have been like living like that in the first century? Every relationship severed. Every embrace that was once enjoyed is now forbidden. Every step would add to their shame as people would look on. There was no more touching. There was no more closeness. There is no more community. They didn't just suffer. They slowly disappeared. They lived outside the camp, outside the city in leper colonies, outside from the life that they once knew and enjoyed, only watching from a distance, only remembering what it was like to feel like they belonged somewhere. Leprosy wasn't just a condition of the skin. It was a picture of isolation, of uncleanness. It was a picture of a life that no one can fix. There was no cure for leprosy. And that's what makes this moment in Luke's gospel so staggering. Because when everybody else stepped back, Jesus steps forward. Think about it for just a moment. Not just what this person physically felt, which is another whole list of problems. But think about what they had to say about themselves, how they would define themselves, how they would see themselves as they would declare to anyone who is in proximity, unclean. I'm unclean. I used to be this person, but not anymore. Now I'm unclean. I'm the problem. I'm the issue. Stay back. You don't want what I am. I don't belong. He wasn't just sick. He was separated. And that's why this text matters so much. Because this is not just about leprosy. This is about the human condition. You see, sin doesn't just wound us. It separates us. Sin isolates us. It distorts us. It changes the way we view ourselves, one another, and the world around us, and certainly changes our view of God. Sin causes shame and regret and insecurities and brokenness and pain. And before anyone even gets a chance to ever label us, we start labeling ourselves. We start defining ourselves by our failures, by our sicknesses, by the things that we struggle with. And the more we focus on that, the more that becomes our identity, just like leprosy becomes the identity of the person in our story. That's what this man did. Before anyone could get close, he'd begin to shout, unclean. He'd begin to define himself to everybody else as unclean. He no longer had a name. He no longer had a family. He no longer had a community. He no longer had an identity. His only identity was unclean. This man wasn't just unwell. He was unwelcome. This is about more than leprosy, folks. But somehow, some way, he learned that Jesus was coming to town. We don't know how it happened, but someone told him what Jesus was capable of doing. Somehow word got back to him that if Jesus would only be willing, he could make this person whole again. And it's there that we see not just the condition of the man, but now we see the confession of this man in verse 12. He presents himself to Jesus, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and he begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Think about it. Just allow yourself to put yourself on that dusty road that day as this leper who is an outcast of society presents himself to this rising leader and he says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he's begging him, falls on his face. In his utter desperation, he sees Jesus. And while he's been clearly put on notice that he is to avoid people at all costs, he ignores that and he approaches Jesus. I love this because somehow he knew it was safe to approach this rabbi. Somehow, some way, word got back to him that Jesus was different than everybody else. He breaks every social boundary that is placed on him. He violates all the restrictions that are placed on a leper. And he does the unthinkable. He comes close. He falls on his face. And he begins to beg Jesus. There's no pride in this. He likely has no pride left in him. This is not a performance. He is desperate. There's no pretending going on here. He knows it's a matter of life or death. It is just utter desperation. And on his face, he's begging, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. What a profound statement. But what's more profound than what he says is what he doesn't say. What he doesn't say is, Lord, if you're able. He doesn't say, Lord, if you can. He doesn't say, Jesus, if you have the power to do it. That's not what he says. He says, if you're willing, you can. There is no doubt in his mind. If Jesus was just willing, there's no doubt he can. The title of my message is simply that, if you are willing. It's one of the most honest statements in all of Scripture. Because he doesn't question Jesus' ability. He questions Jesus' willingness. And I think that that places him not too far from every one of us at one time or another. You see, we all would say, oh, we believe God can do anything. I've seen God work in other people's lives. I've heard the testimony of when Jesus stepped into a broken situation and brought restoration. I've heard how God has answered prayers. I even believe he can answer prayers. The question is, does he really want to answer my prayers? It's not an issue of ability. It's an issue of willingness. You see, that's often fueled by shame. That kind of questioning is the voice of someone who's very aware of the many times in which they've failed. Why in the world would God, I mean, the creator of the universe, why in the world would he meet my need? Why would he solve my problem? Why would he come to my rescue? I mean, if you're willing, you can, but really, Lord, are you willing for someone like me? It's the voice of someone who feels disqualified. The voice of someone who stands as the judge, the jury, and the executioner in his own trial. That's the voice of the leper in our passage. But notice something I think is incredible here. He saw Jesus. He saw him in ways that nobody else saw him. That's acknowledgement. He knew who was standing in his presence. And he falls on his face before Jesus. That's honor. That's worship. He recognizes that he is in the presence of awesomeness. And he begs Jesus, recognizing God doesn't owe him anything. It is a posture of humility. It is a posture of recognition of Jesus' power and Jesus' authority. He sees Jesus. He falls on his face and he begs Jesus. I think we can learn a lot from this leper. Because that kind of an attitude, that kind of a posture is lost in Christianity today. Too many people come to God on their own terms. Very casual about the things of God. Like take it or leave it kind of a thing. Seeking to bargain with God. Hey God, I'll give you my life if you will do this. Jesus, I'll serve you if you meet my needs, if you come to my rescue, if you heal me in this area, I will do this. If you don't do that, then I'm not going to give you anything. And it reeks of pride and arrogance and entitlement, and God owes us nothing. If we're honest, sin has done the same thing to us as leprosy had done to our brother in Luke's gospel. We too are broken, disfigured. We are helpless in and of ourselves. And until we, like that leper, acknowledge the magnitude of who he is, that causes us to fall on our face in awe of who he is. Recognizing his holiness and begging him for forgiveness and holiness, unless we do that and have that kind of a posture, we will never experience the true healing and wholeness that Christ provides for us. Lessons from a leper. because his brokenness is what created the right posture. Perhaps we're not broken enough. Perhaps we don't realize we're needy enough. Perhaps we lost the message of how utterly desperate we are in need of God. That was what the leper did. We know what his condition was. We hear his confession. But look what it does. It brings out our third point. We see the compassion of Christ. Look at verse 13. How does Jesus respond to this leprous beggar pleading to be made whole? It says, and Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. This is very powerful. Don't miss this moment. Put yourself on those streets. This is a moment to pause. Because what Jesus does here next is shocking. He doesn't just speak healing over this person with leprosy, although he could have. He stretches out his hand in a gesture of getting closer to him. He doesn't just command the leprosy to go like he commanded the demons to leave the bodies earlier. No, he stretches out his hand and he does the unthinkable. He touches him. No rabbi would ever do this. No clean person would ever do this. Nobody in their right mind would ever do this. Because according to the law, if you touch a leper, you become as unclean as the leper himself. Everybody knew you don't touch a leper. And not only would you be made unclean, but leprosy is very, very contagious. And so you don't touch the leper. But watch this. Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches him. And in that very moment, everything flips. In that very moment, all the rules change. Because in this case, Jesus doesn't become unclean, as would be the case in every other scenario. But Jesus touches the leper. He doesn't become unclean. The leper becomes clean. Why? Because even leprosy bows to his authority. Lord, if you're willing. And Jesus says, I will be clean. I will. These two words change everything. I will. Some of you need to hear that. I will. Not I might. Not let me think about it. Not you need to fix a few things first, get your act together. No. I will. The man wondered if Jesus would, and Jesus puts the question to rest with the significance of a touch. And don't miss the order in which this takes place because it's very profound. Jesus touched him before he healed him. Which means the person experienced acceptance before they even experienced healing. Jesus didn't wait for him to be clean to touch him. He touched him first, and he became clean. I think too many people think they have to clean up their act before they can come to Jesus. They're intimately acquainted with all the areas of failure and sin and disgust in their life. And their thinking is, how dare I come before a holy God when I have all of these things that are awry in my life? Let me work on this list and then I'll come to Jesus. And Jesus says, no, 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 don't worry about the list. You just come and I'll work on the list. You see, religion is us working on the list. Religion is man's efforts to get to God, and it never works. But redemption is God's way of getting to man, and it is the only way. It is what Jesus, so Jesus says, no, you just come and I'll clean up your act. Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, reminds us that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. You do not have, I do not have the ability, the fortitude, the capacity to fix our own lives. It is not possible. We are broken and in need of a Savior. And when we trust him, he does that work. Jesus touched him first. And what followed is our fourth point. We saw his condition. We saw his confession. We saw Jesus' compassion, which led to our fourth point, the cleansing of the man. Look at verse 13. It says, and immediately the leprosy left him. Luke emphasizes this. The leprosy immediately left him. There's no delay. There's no process. There's no gradual improvement over time. There's no working it out. It is immediate, because when Jesus speaks, everything changes. Disease obeys. Decay reverses. Identity is rewritten. As we saw in the case of that leper, and in this leper as well, I've been changed. Look at verse 14. It's so powerful. It says, go and show yourself to the priest, Jesus says. This is so weighty. This is so impacting. He says, show yourself. Present yourself. You see, prior to this, you couldn't present yourself. You couldn't show your identity. Your identity was your leprosy, but not anymore. Your identity is no longer that of a leper. Now go and present who you are now. You are no longer the one who needs to cry out, unclean, unclean. That is no longer your identity. That temple which you are not allowed to enter into now, you are to go and present yourself. And watch what he says. Look, he says, go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing. I love that. Go and make an offering. You know who does that? Worshippers do that, not lepers. His identity has changed. His disposition has changed. His way of worship has changed. You're no longer what you were. But you're clean, clean, clean. And so this scene with the leper wasn't just about healing. It's about restoration. It's about redemption. It's about wholeness. It's about identity. And Jesus pulls him in. He says, you go and show yourself to the priest. That's affirmation. That's Jesus reinstating this brother into wholeness. You're not what you were. You're now what I made you. When a person was considered unclean and then healed, they were required by the law to go to the priest and show themselves as clean. So it serves as a proof that they are no longer what they were. I'll just pause here for a second, because the fact that Jesus touched the leper according to the law would have made Jesus as unclean as the leper himself, and it would have required for Jesus to go to the temple too. But Jesus not going to the temple to present himself to the priest was the declaration of his power over uncleanness as well. He has authority over it all. He doesn't need to do that, because when anything unclean comes into contact with Jesus, it's made clean. And that's what Jesus does with us. He takes that which is unclean. He takes that which is sinful, that is broken and distorted and separated. He takes that which separates us from the holiness of God, and he steps in and he touches us. And he makes us clean. And he forgives us. And he washes us in the blood of Jesus. And he takes this group of people who are living on the outside, living on the outside of the family of God, and he welcomes us in. We who were not a people, Peter says, are now the people of God. Paul writes and said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. What things? Everything. Every failure, every sin, every regret, everything that has caused you shame, everything that has caused you insecurity is made new. That's now your identity. That's what Jesus does. That's what he does to the leper in our story. And that's what he does for every one of us. Because you know what, folks? We are the lepers. We are the lepers. We started off distanced from God. We were born in sin. Where is our boasting? What could we hold up as valuable apart from the cross of Jesus Christ as we sang this morning? That's why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Because when we recognize that we are spiritually bankrupt, when we are that beggar that is pleading to God for forgiveness, then we have scratched the surface of what we were up outside of Christ. Romans says that when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, when we were lepers, when we were separated, Christ died. And you know what? He once again stretched out his hand and they placed a nail in it for you and for me. And he went to the cross for you and for me so that our sinful condition would be removed off of us and placed on him. And the righteousness wherewith he is made righteous is applied to our life. And we are declared justified, clean, sons and daughters of God. That's what Jesus does. Now here's where this moves from something we admire in Jesus to something that we're invited into. Because this passage is not just showing us what Jesus did, it's showing us what Jesus modeled. It's showing us what it looks like to follow Jesus. This man in Luke spent his leprous years avoided by those around him. People stepped back. People kept their distance. People looked the other way. And then Jesus shows up and moves towards him. He touches him. He restores him. He sends him to the priest. He has a new identity. And here's the reality. You and I have been called to walk in that same direction that Jesus went with the leper. There are people all around us, not with visible leprosy, but with invisible burdens, pain, shame, regret, leprosy. People who feel ashamed and disqualified. People who feel like they are outcasts, untouchable, not just unwell, but unwelcome. And we have been given the privilege and the mandate to step toward them. And listen carefully, the tragedy of this story is not the leper. The tragedy would be someone who knows Jesus and is still unwilling to move toward broken people. That is a tragedy. Because former lepers are the greatest people to reach a leprous community. You see, the one who is unwilling is missing the very heart of Christ. That's not to make us feel guilty. It's to raise our awareness of what we are called to, of who we represent, of what our new identity is, and what our calling is. What if Integrity Church became the kind of people who move toward those that others avoided? What if Integrity Church became the kind of church who engaged with people that others ignored? What if Integrity Church became the kind of people who carry the presence of Christ into the most broken, dysfunctional, and messy situations? What would that look like? It might raise some eyebrows. It certainly would knock some of us out of our comfort zone. But I think it would capture the attention of Jesus. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "For as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." You see, if Jesus touched what others avoided, then following him means we move toward those that others ignore. There are people right now in your life, right now in my life, that no one's checking on them. No one's reaching out to them. No one's praying for them. No one's crying for them. No one is moving toward them. The man fell at the feet of Jesus and he asked the most honest question a broken heart can possibly ask. "Lord, if you are willing." And Jesus answered, "I will." And so now the question turns, not upward, but inward. Not to Christ, but to a mirror. And I ask you the same question. Are you willing? Not to compromise truth or to soften truth to accommodate sin. That's not an option. But to seek to rescue those that are caught up in the bondage and the pain of sin and separation. Are you willing to step into someone's brokenness instead of stepping back from it? Are you willing to carry the heart of Christ into places that are uncomfortable, inconvenient, and may even cost you? Are you willing to move towards the very same people that others avoid? To carry the ones that others overlook? To do whatever it takes to bring them to Jesus? Because when you truly see the heart of Jesus, it changes everything. It changes the way we see ourselves. We recognize we were those lepers, but we've been made clean. And we are not entitled to that. It has been by grace that we've been saved. It means unmerited, unearned favor from God. And the way in which we live our lives that communicates that we understand that is we extend that same grace, that same love, that same compassion to those around us. And so when we see the heart of Jesus, it changes the way we see ourselves. It changes the way we see God. It changes the way we see other people. And interestingly, in the very next moment of our text in Luke, which we're going to cover next week, another broken man appears. But this time he doesn't come alone. He comes with some friends. He comes with some friends who are willing to carry him, willing to push through a very busy crowd of people willing to tear open a roof just to get this guy to Jesus. And next week, we're gonna step into that moment and see what happens when willingness turns into bold, unstoppable faith. But before we step into that moment, we need to step in front of the mirror and be able to answer the question before God, am I willing? Am I willing to be Jesus to the world around me? Am I willing to go after those that others avoid? And maybe the question is really, are you even willing to be willing? Because sometimes it starts there. Maybe you're here this morning, you're listening online or on TV or somewhere else, and you feel like that outcast. You feel like you're on the outside, that you have no community, no connection, no nothing. Well, this is for you. Jesus steps into your life. He cares about you. He came for you to make you whole. And so today is the day that you can experience that wholeness, that cleanness that only Christ can bring. That means you don't have to clean up your act when coming to Jesus. You come to Jesus and you allow him to clean up your act. You do the things that Jesus wants you to do, and you'll experience the life that Jesus wants you to have. But if you've done that already and you're on the other side of this and you're feeling like, yeah, that's what I experienced, then are you willing to be that for other people? My prayer is that this makes us feel downright uncomfortable, because it makes it uncomfortable to preach it, because I know I got to live it too. It's a lot easier to hide behind busy schedules and good things going on in our life and miss the fact that we've been called on mission by God. And may we be a bunch of former lepers that go where nobody else is willing to go to bring Jesus to a world that Christ died for. Let's pray. Lord, that is our prayer. That, Lord, you would so shape our hearts, that you would brand our hearts with your heart. And that, God, when there's areas of reluctance, I pray that, God, you would make us willing to be willing. Lord, that we would recognize and remember the degree of which we've been forgiven of. And that, Lord, we'd never forget what we were prior to your entering into our lives. And Lord, may that motivate us to mobilize and go into places that others would deem unworthy and untouchable. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Thank you that when we go into those places, we don't go alone, but we go with the Spirit of God and the truth of the gospel. Lord, may we go with excitement and see the opportunity that's before us. In Christ's name, for his glory, amen, amen. Let's stand together. I pray this week that God brings somebody in your life that when you look at them, that you remember this strange face asking you the question, are you willing? What will you do with it? Let's worship.